This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Know-How is brought to you by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
Today on Know-How,
we're going back to school.
Welcome to Know How. It's the TWiT show where we build, bend, break, and upgrade. I am Father Robert Palos here.
And I am Mother Megan Maroney.
And for the next couple of minutes, we're going to be packing your brain full of knowledge like it's the TARDIS and it's bigger on the inside.
I know that. I know that reference.
Got that
Doctor
one?
Who.
We do have to sort of brush you up a little bit on the Kamehameha Dragon Ball Z.
Is that from Moana?
Okay. Okay. Yeah, we've got work. We've got work. Okay. But you know what? That's not what we're here to talk about today. We're here to talk about something that's on a lot of people's minds, and that is back to school. Now, Megan, you know this. Back to school is not just for students. Back to school is a time for parents
to rejoice heartily. Oh, wait, no.
In the sense that you love the fact that your children are absorbing knowledge and it's good for them, not because they're out of your hair for most of the day.
It's not my hair that they're in. It's the Minecraft constantly and the YouTube that they're in. Now they're learning from other sources besides Minecraft and YouTube.
Are there other sources other than Minecraft and
YouTube?
There
are still teachers out in the world, real human meat bag teachers.
That's blasphemy, Maroney. Absolute blasphemy. Now let's get to it. Now, last time we talked a little bit about some of the more practical things. Things like, well, are you going to bring a notebook? And we showed them a Chromebook. We showed them, of course, an OS X device. And we showed them some Windows notebooks. We also showed them some power products. This time, I want to do something a bit more fun. This is a bit of a shorter episode, but there are a few things that I think are appropriate for, say, college students, maybe not so much for high school students.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we've got some for those that you're pushing out of the nest, going on to higher learning, as it were.
Higher learning. And, of course, the first thing I'm going to want to do is I'm going to want to bring my tunes. I like my music. I love my music. I don't remember what it was like for you. Because you're much younger than I am.
But I also don't remember what it was like for me. Just kidding.
I just as I said it, I was realizing I could be going someplace here that I shouldn't be going. So I'm like, let's back off a bit. But when I moved into college, I brought my stereo, and my stereo was like 16 components. You know, you had the amplifier, and then I had a tape deck, and I had a reel-to-reel, and I had an 8-track. Yes, these things actually did exist. And I had two huge speakers that I had to connect via spools of speaker wire. That's not so much really what people do anymore.
No. I had my first CD player. That was my college age device. And yeah, played a lot of Neil Young on it, but I didn't have all the extra stuff.
All the accoutrement.
But I definitely had more than what kids today have.
Right. And unfortunately, I've seen that a lot of the students that we have at USF and at SI, they'll come and they actually listen to music on their phone or their laptop. Not really a good experience. I mean, it works. But what if I told you that we could give them the equivalent of all those components that I used to bring with me when I was a university student, but something that's portable, that could fit in their backpack, that could last for a long time on battery, and could connect to pretty much every device that they have?
I want to hear about it.
Okay. Well, actually, you will hear get it, audio.
Okay.
Because it's Fugu. Now, we've had these on the show before. It's just because I like them. As you know, we get a lot of wireless speakers for review. Everyone likes to send us their Bluetooth speakers. Most of them, not great.
That's true. Yeah, they're tricky. It takes forever to connect. For me, it's like, I don't know how long you give it, but if it takes me more than 5 minutes to connect to Bluetooth, then no thank you.
Right. So you either have a good speaker that's too complicated, or you have a rugged speaker that sounds horrible, or a great-sounding speaker that doesn't last long in battery, or a long-lasting speaker that falls apart the first time you drop it. That's why I've been very enamored with the Fugu line. Now, we had them on Before You Buy. When they first came out, when the company was first created, they sent us a couple of their speakers with the interchangeable cores. And I did things like drop it off buildings and throw it into the ocean and drag it through Ocean Beach in San Francisco, which is famous for having iron filings. That destroys all electronics. It worked just fine. And it sounded great. It lasted for, 40 hours on a single charge. they've upped their game, and I think now they've got something that might be good for the returning college student. Now, we looked at these, I think, 2 or 3 months ago. We had a first look. These are the Fugu-style S speakers. Now, let me give you one. They're kind of cute.
They're stylish.
They are. They've got the same profile as the original. They're a tiny bit bigger because the one piece of feedback that they heard was that people said, we wish they were louder. So they really upped the power. We've got 20 watts, 93 decibels of sound pressure, 4 drivers, that's 2 47 millimeter full range drivers, 2 115 millimeter base radiators. It's waterproof, IP67, so you could throw this in the ocean. It can be paired together. So I could take 2 of these speakers, pair them together, put them on opposite sides of the room. So it's like a lot like the Sonos, right?
That's nice.
Very cool feature. 15 hours of battery life, depending on how loud you want to play this thing.
We'll see.
Now, that's good. That's something that we're going to talk about in a little bit. It does do these voice prompts, which I like.
Yeah.
And I mentioned last time we had these out that my sister's not a big fan of that because they do power saving. And so what will happen is she'll forget, and she'll be in the middle of the night, and then it will disconnect from her iPhone, and then powering off this disembodied voice. I actually received email from my Fugu contacts after the last time we had it on the show, and they told us that there's actually a very simple way to fix that. If you hold the plus, actually, let's do it over here. If you hold the plus and the minus button at the same time and then turn it on, what you'll get is...
Speaker is on. Voice prompts are low. Pairing mode.
See, so what it will do is it will, every time you do that, it will switch the volume at which it does the voice prompts. You can actually turn off the voice prompts. So for those audience members who thought that was an annoying part of the speaker... It's now something that's doable. Now, beyond that, the other things that I really like about this is, I mean, these things, they're tough. They're really, really, really tough.
Whoa. Just knock it on your head to pair it.
And that's evidently, easy. It's now paired with Megan Maroney's head, ladies and gentlemen. That's good stuff. No, but also this, the fact that I have both Bluetooth connectivity, and this is highly overlooked if you go to the side, that's a 3.5 millimeter connector.
Oh.
And, okay, I know you live in the Apple side, but most of us still love that jack because Bluetooth can go wrong. It can get interfered with. It can have, it can just get kind of noisy. A wired connection is pure. And typically, unless you've got a lot of magnetic interference in the area, it's just going to sound a lot better than anything you're going to get over wireless. No.
I love my iPhone 7, but I miss that.
It works.
Jack.
It works. And I'm not that kind of a hater. At some point, it will go away. It will all be wireless. But for me, for now, I have enough accessories that could use that cable that I think it's a good deal. Oh, you can get these on Amazon actually on the Fugu website. It's probably a better place. They're about $140 each, which is less than the original was upwards of $200. So they've really dropped the price and they've increased the sound. So I like that. Now, if that's too much, there is one more step you can do. I kind of like these. These are also stereo speakers. These are the Fugu Go. Now, the thing about this is imagine this being like the Style. It's 12 watts, so versus 20 watts for the Style. It's still ruggedized. This does not have that 3.5 millimeter jack that I like so much. But it does last a really long time. It's got dual 52 millimeter drivers plus a dual base radiators. And just like the Style, I can pair 2 of these together and then put them on opposite sides. And here's the thing. If you go to the link, Alex, these are only $90.
That's good.
Yeah. And, yes, you can find cheaper Bluetooth speakers out there, much cheaper. But that's what they are. They're cheaper. They're not as good. I've tested so many of these, and I keep coming back to the Fugu because... this is what I carry. I travel so much, and I kind of like having audio devices. And I love the idea that I can take 2 of these and using the little lanyard thing, hang them on the back walls of a room that I'm doing a presentation in, and I brought my own sound system. It's just very much worth it.
Do they also work as earrings? Could I hang them off of my... Let's try that.
It's
not any worse than what my AirPods look like.
I think you're onto something, Maroney. I think this is going to be...
So this is for someone who cares about sound and wants to like take these out to the quad and be sitting in different areas. To be honest, I have a lot of Bluetooth speakers, and I don't care that much about sound. Like, I listen to music from my Echo Dot, and then everyone says those are horrible speakers. But if you're a college kid, you want to play your Neil Young, and you want everyone to appreciate the sound.
Well, it's not just for that. I do carry, not the style, I carry the smaller one because it is it's lighter, and I need something that's smaller for my baggage. But the nice thing about the Fugu setup is it's also a conference phone. So when I pair it with my Bluetooth phone, I go to a meeting, I put this in the middle of the table, and they can hear everybody. It's a 360-degree mic with noise cancellation. So, I mean, that's awesome. That's amazing. And it's also paired with my laptop, so I can do it that way. Because the sound of my laptop is, well, it's laptop sound. So it's not just a speaker. I mean, this really is a full-featured accessory that has more than one use. I kind of like that. That makes it a good thing for me.
And you could put it on your credenza, and yes, it would look nice. I really like this material.
Yes, although I don't have credenzas. I'm not fancy like them around.
Well, then you get these.
That's wisdom. Wisdom of the ages, folks. Now, when we come back, we're going to be diving a little bit deeper into some back-to-school stuff. Specifically, what if, because we're talking about university students, what if you go to a campus where they don't want you to network?
What?
Yeah, we're not going to stand for that. But before we get there, let's go ahead and take a moment for these messages.
Previously on Twit.
I want to go with a completely radical idea.
Oh, what's that?
Don't point your camera at the dadgum sun during the eclipse. Point it anywhere else.
What's much more interesting during the eclipse is how people are reacting to it, the reflections, the images you see.
All your friends are going to have those pictures of the sun with the little moon thing in it, and yeah, that's cool. But you could have pictures of things nobody else has.
Triangulation.
Do you remember the first time you spoke to Steve Jobs?
Yes. He came back to Apple. It was a mess, as you know. Jobs calls my house on a Sunday night, and he starts, you know, giving me his spiel. And then he started calling every Sunday night. The first call, my wife was like, it's Steve Jobs on the phone. By the third call, it was like, it's Steve Jobs on the phone. You know.
Know-how.
Today on Know-How, we'll use billion-dollar satellites to find cheap McDonald's toys.
Geocaching.
They might even find a Leo bobblehead in a cache.
Who wouldn't want that?
We're going to do an official Twit geocache.
Nice.
And we're not going to list it on geocaching.com until after a viewer finds it.
Twit, coming to you from 38 degrees 14 minutes north, 122 degrees 38 minutes west.
And we are back. Now, Megan, I just realized we never actually turned sound onto this thing.
So I just trusted you that they sounded better.
Here's my beat. This is my jam, okay? Now, I'm running this at about 10% volume, so this thing can get really, really loud. Okay, so our music styles don't match. I was going to play the Hamilton soundtrack. I've heard that you're pretty happy with that.
I also like that music. The other thing you didn't mention was you can change that male voice to an Australian female voice.
Yes.
These are the things we need to know.
The charging port, which is the micro USB port, can actually be used to change the firmware as well, which is kind of cool. I like this, yeah. No, it's a very good device, and, you know, it's one of these companies that I've seen what they've done over the years, and when they first came out, they invited me to San Francisco to see their prototype, and I was like, another Bluetooth speaker, and it just grew on me. It's like, no, this is what I want to use. All right, let's go ahead and move away from sound and talk about something that's a bit more important to our younger generation, and that is staying connected. Specifically, how do you stay connected and stay safe once you move to the hodgepodge of network hostility that we call a college or a university? We've actually got some feedback from David Bruins, I believe is his name. And Megan, what does he say?
David asks, what is the best way to protect yourself at college on a college network? I'm going to have a NAS set up there too. And what is the best way to protect as much as possible? Unfortunately, my college does not allow routers, so that's out.
Yeah, so that's a big thing.
Why would they not allow routers?
I get it. It sounds draconian. It sounds silly. It sounds like something before the era of even the internet. But I understand. From a management perspective, putting a router in line stops visibility for the people who are managing the network. And as you can imagine, a college campus with a whole lot of bandwidth and a whole lot of access to a whole lot of network resources, you want IT administrators who take their job seriously. And in order for them to take their job seriously, they need to know exactly what is connected to the network. If you put a router, so a NAT, network address translation, essentially what you're doing is you are stopping them from seeing anything that's behind that router. Mm-hmm. So they can see the router. They can see the router port. They can see how much traffic that router might be pushing into the network and into the internet. But they don't know if there's one device behind that router or if there's 1,000 devices behind that router. So for them, I could see that being a valid policy. I wouldn't do that, and I wouldn't stand by it, but it kind of does make sense.
Can I tell you a little story?
Sure.
About what happened when I was in college? This was 1995, my senior year. Mm-hmm. It's a true story. I was a resident advisor, which means I lived in the dorm with the youngsters. And there was a kid who had internet. He was the only one. This was 1995. He had internet. I had no idea. I knew what internet was, but I knew I didn't know he had it in the dorm. And he would let people come in. He would pay. They would have to pay to come in to use it. And look at things that you can imagine. They weren't so appropriate. And then the college found out and shut it down. But I had no idea any of that was going on. I just would see lines of boys heading into this room. And I was like, well, you know, I open the door. Are you guys drinking? You smoking pot? No. Okay. What could possibly you be doing?
When I went to college, and sadly, I went to college before you did. We didn't eat, our dorms were not wired. Mm-hmm. There was no network except inside the lab or in the library. So we had access to the campus network via dial-up. So you would call in with your 28.8 kilobit per second modem, and then you could be connected to the campus network, and the campus network was connected to the internet, so you could use Gopher or FTP. It's a really strange, by today's standards, process, but it was much easier to manage back then because you had a bank of modems. You knew who exactly was calling in. Now, with all the devices being connected either wired or wirelessly, you don't have a really good feel for how many devices are connected to your network at any given time, especially if they're using a router. Mm-hmm. All right.
So all right, now we can answer the question.
Now we can answer the question. We did. So why are they doing this? They're doing it because they want to control the traffic on the network. There's also another thing, and that is a lot of routers will come with wireless APs. It's actually built in. In my days, you had the router, maybe you had a switch, and maybe you had an AP. Today, the router, the switch, and the AP are all the same. The problem is, if you turn on your AP, your wireless AP, you are going to be flooding the space with energy, RF energy, from that access point. Like last Thursday, we talked a little bit about scanning your house for which channels are available. Well, if you've got every student with an access point on at the same time in a dorm, you will obliterate any usable spectrum. It's just so much noise. So that's another reason why they may not allow routers. And also, they need to know when people do bad things, and the router's going to obfuscate that.
That makes sense.
So how are they doing this? The first thing they're probably doing is they're scanning for Wi-Fi. That's super easy. Even if you've hidden your SSID, I can tell if you've got a Wi-Fi access point running, and if I've got a directional antenna, I can walk right up a dorm, and I can just point it at the various rooms. I'll know exactly where it is. So unfortunately, that's a dead giveaway. That's always going to show you up if you've got the wireless AP turned on. The second thing is they're also probably looking at the MAC address. So the media access control, it is a unique set of characters and numbers, hexadecimal, that belong to your laptop, to your phone, to your tablet. Anything that connects to a network needs a MAC. Well, the thing is, when manufacturers applied for their MAC addresses, they were given blocks. And so we kind of know what device it's going to be just by the MAC address. In other words, I know that something starting with FFFAAA is going to be a Synology device. And if it's a Synology device, it's probably a NAS or a router. And if it's a NAS or a router and I don't allow those on my networks, I know that that's something that I need to get rid of. And you can go down the line. Linksys, Netgear, Cisco, they all have MAC addresses that I can trace back to the device. So that's how they know you've got one of those in your room.
And so is there someone whose job it is in a college to go around and scan to find out whether there are routers?
It sounds like in this college, probably, yeah. And then the third thing of how they're doing this is traffic inspection. Now, this one is a little trickier. You do need an administrator who's kind of up on his or her game. If I have a single IP that has a ridiculous amount of connections open, I can probably theorize that that's not coming from a single device. There's no computer that's going to have upteen connections active at the same time. I probably realize that even though it looks like one single IP address, there's a lot of devices connecting through a router, and therefore I go to that room.
Yeah. Got it.
Yeah. So that means we have two challenges. One, we have to make it so that they can't detect via technology your router. Two, we have to make sure they can't see your router, because he mentioned that they actually go into dorm rooms and check to see if there's routers. They probably do the thing where they look for the super simple. Look for the plug, hold onto the plug, follow it back to the device. And if you've got a router there, they'll just yank it out.
Wow, it's tough in college for you guys these
days.
I know,
right? That's kind of crazy. But let's go ahead and do some simple stuff. The simple stuff is, first of all, let's take a look at what it looks like. If you go to my thing here, you've got the internet. This is professionally drawn, by the way. This is super, super pro.
I for internet. Got it.
Okay, internet. So I'm going to go down in the campus network, and my campus network is going to have all the various switches, connections that are going to branch off to the different buildings on the campus, right? And so let's say that this one is the dorm room in question right here. Well, what we want on this one is we want to be able to put a single router, and then all the devices that branch off from this are going to go through that one IP address. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to use network address translation. If you want to know what that is, go to our Networking 101 series. We did an entire episode on NAT and DHCP and the services that your router can provide. What that will allow me to do is protect myself. And this is why I'm actually using this information. Normally, I don't want to violate any terms of usage on a network. But the problem is, if you go to a college network, it is a hostile environment. You're going to have people who are scanning the ports at all time and looking for open devices to own. It's a game. It's fun. It's college. It's kind of what you do if you're a geek. So that NAT, that router, acts as a firewall for me. Anyone on the outside of my network can only see the router. They cannot see any of the devices behind the router. That's why I want this.
Got it.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so here's what we're going to do. First of all, strategy one, I'm sorry. I know this is a bummer. You're going to have to turn off the Wi-Fi. I don't mean hide the SSD. I don't mean go low power. I mean turn it off completely. There's a setting in every decent router that lets you turn off the wireless access point. You're going to have to do that.
So always, not just turn it off to set this up. You mean you don't get Wi-Fi.
Because it is a dead giveaway. Because all of these campuses, they're going to have their own Wi-Fi access point. And in fact, if they're using something like the Cisco series access points, the Cisco access points can detect rogue access points. They have a separate radio in the unit that's looking for RF energy all the time. And if it detects your access point, it can do a couple of things. First of all, it's absolutely going to report to the administrator, hey, there's a rogue access point on the campus. B, it can do what's called a DDoS attack. A lot of times we turn off that feature because it tends to be illegal to do that. But what it will do is it keeps sending deauthorization packets to that wireless network, and anything trying to connect it will connect and then disconnect. Connect, disconnect, connect, disconnect. So it's useless. Turn it off. And it will absolutely get you busted. They will know where you are because you are broadcasting a beacon. It's literally called a beacon that they can home in on and say, this room has an access point. We have to get in there and get rid of it.
So, but most dorms are already equipped with Wi-Fi in there from the university, so it's not a big deal.
It's not a big deal, right. It is a big deal in the sense that if you're using the university Wi-Fi, you are at the mercy of their IT person. If he or she has not set it up properly to protect you, then that's an issue. Like when I set up a wireless, especially in public spaces, every device is going to be on a separate VLAN. So they won't even see other devices. They can't see other devices. That's the proper way to do it. Make sure everything is isolated so that one device on the network can't attack another. Unfortunately, if you've got a network administrator who isn't really good at their job, maybe they don't turn on that feature. Maybe they don't know how to configure that feature. And now my phone is on the same network as the guy with the laptop who's port scanning me. Which is why I like having my own router, because as long as I'm behind it, he can't do anything.
Right. So, you know, remember when we were looking at schools, we would say, like, what's the best party school or whatever?
Yeah.
For us now, maybe it's like, what's the most secure school? Like, as you're looking at colleges, as you're touring them, ask, like, how is your network protected? Those kinds of questions.
Well, do you remember how long ago did it become part of the house hunting routine to say, well, what kind of broadband provider do you have here?
Mm-hmm.
That's actually, you did that.
Yes, I did.
It's like, you can't have a home where you've got spotty connectivity. You need to have at least one really good broadband provider.
We turned our broadband on before we turned our electricity on. That's true.
Yeah. You had internet connectivity before you had furniture.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay,
also,
So it's important. It's also important at a college. You're not going to go to a college that has no decent internet connectivity because it says something about the college. It means, okay, maybe you're not as modern as I need you to be. Right.
Or not just the good connectivity, safe connectivity.
Yeah.
Are they looking out for the students?
Exactly. The other thing you're going to want to do, and again, you can go to our Networking 101 series on port scanning. You need to turn off all ports, and I mean all ports, all services shut them down. FTP, turn off any file sharing protocols you've got. Turn off any of the media sharing ports that you've got on. Anything that can be scanned from the outside that might enumerate, in other words, reveal the router, has to be off. And we showed this in the Networking 101. I was able to use a free tool called Nmap to find out exactly what manufacturer of the device is. In fact, our Synology device, when I turned everything on, it even identified itself as a router. So that would be a dead giveaway. So turn all that off, and actually we'll be demoing that again. You should probably port scan your own router just to make sure all those ports are off. The fourth thing is, and I'm sorry to say this, you got to limit your multi-device throughput. I know that we're all accustomed to having maybe Netflix running on our laptop. Maybe I've got video editing running my desktop. I've got a tablet and a phone that are doing two different things. Remember what I said about identifying a connection because of the number of open connections it might have. You need to limit that. So even if you have 3 devices, 4 devices, 10 devices connected to your network, try to make sure that you're only pushing enough traffic so that it looks like a single device. Actually, a dead giveaway is if you've got like 1 device connected to Netflix, 1 device connected to Hulu, 1 device connected to Amazon. They probably are going to figure out that that's not all the same device.
Hopefully you'll get done watching your episodes right before they figure it out.
Right. There is one advanced piece of advice here that we are going to briefly cover now, but we're actually going to demonstrate it next week, and that's called cloning. Remember, one of the ways that they can detect is they can look at your MAC address, the MAC, Media Access Control. Well, most higher-end devices, and even some lower-end devices, have the ability to change the MAC address. I can actually have my device pretend to be like something else. And so what I've done on campuses that are like this, in fact, we've got a couple. The Jesuits have a few that have policies like this. I log in with my laptop. They register the MAC address of my laptop. And I need that because I'm going to be taking that from classroom to classroom. They need to authorize that. But then I can tell my router to take my MAC address from my laptop and use it. And so it will always look like it's my laptop connected, which I kind of like that. Mm-hmm. That works really well. Now, we're actually going to demo this in real time next week. I'm going to show you everything from configuring your router, turning off things like all the services, turning off Wi-Fi, cloning a Mac. And I'm even going to, we're going to do a little something-something because we do have to stop them from seeing it. I'm going to show you how to put the router inside of a computer case. So it looks like it's just a computer. It's kind of a fun thing. Unfortunately, because I just got back, the really good members of the audience know what I'm talking about. While I was gone, Megan, the cleaning crew kind of disassembled my lab.
They did?
Yeah, because they wanted to clean the carpets.
Oh, sad.
So everything, all of my equipment are in boxes out in the hallway.
Oh.
I got to fix that.
Yeah. I'm sorry I wasn't there to protect your
equipment. I know, right?
Equipment.
I know. What the hell,
Maroney?
I tell you, some people just need a bit more dedication to the job.
I don't want to get near your desk, to be honest. It's scary, and I'm afraid that it's going to, some like robot arm's going to reach out and argh.
I noticed that. My desk seemed pretty much the same as when I left it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Go figure. Okay, now we do have one more thing that we want to do. You've got some advice for students who are going off to college. This is actually something I think a member of our staff here, Patrick Delahanty, would very much appreciate because you've got ways to keep your devices organized and connected. You want to tell me a little bit about it?
I do. So, you know, last week earlier than our last episode, we talked about the hardware. And you're going to want some items to carry that hardware around. There's so many dongles. There's so many. You have so many AirPods and everything. So what I have is the Cocoonit organizer.
Cocoony. It's very...
Cocoon. Cocoonit. Well, Cocoon Grid It. That's what it's called. Cocoon Grid It.
So...
There
oh,
it is.
Oh.
So this is the best. I've had a lot of different organizing, little things. I think something from the Levenger catalog, but it makes you organize them in a certain way. What I like about this is you can put things wherever you want.
That's
you
want to
put
cool
this
idea.
Phone here. You want to put this phone here. You want to put these cables here. And then it doesn't fold up, so it doesn't. It's just flat, but it lays right against your laptop, so it's about the same size as the laptop. This one is. There's also one that is about the size of an iPad. It's smaller if you don't need all that. But so you can put all kinds of. We could put your little mouse here.
I kind of like this.
We could put
This is actually a really good idea.
Yeah, I love it. And some of these little headphones.
You know, you could get two of these and like
stack them,
like sandwich it. Then it really is cocooning it.
In the dongle life, we might need two, and that is what we're living. Okay, and the other thing that I wanted to show off is my favorite lightning cable, and that is from Anchor. You love Anchor products.
I do. Anchor's really, as I mentioned yesterday, they've upped their game. They've become a major force from an OEM manufacturer, so I appreciate them.
So what I have here is a comparison of the Anchor cable versus the regular old lightning
cable. I got to ask you, because Patrick Delahanty tells me that lightning cables, the ones from Apple, are quite possibly the most fragile piece of technology he's ever dealt with. He keeps destroying them. Are they really that easy to bust?
They're pretty bad. Like these fray, I wish I'd brought a more frayed one. This one is relatively new. But look at this. This is just much sturdier construction. It's thicker. It's even just cleaner. And we have the other side, too, which is sturdy, too. And I love these. And if you have... if you're going to college, get yourself a 3-pack of these. They're not, I think, they're not necessarily cheap. And if you think about, well, every time I buy a new iPhone, these come free. Well, and then they fall apart and you have to buy another one. So I've tried.
Wait, how expensive are they? I remember they were stupid expensive a while back.
When you have to buy another one. I'm not sure what the price is. Do you have that, Alex, somewhere? Just a regular lightning cable on the Apple website if you want to replace. This is $7.99. And you can buy them. What I recommend is if you have like a discount site like Camel or Slick Deals or something where you can put in the search, just put in Anchor Cable in there and then you'll get reminded every time they're on sale somewhere. And then you can buy them then.
You know, I had a similar experience because I'm moving over all my USB devices to USB-C now. And USB-C cables were stupid expensive for really short lengths. And then on Slick Deals, they had these braided, 6-foot braided cables, a 2-pack for like $5. I'm like, a single cable was costing me $15.
Yeah.
How can two of these be for $5? I bought one. They were perfect. I still use them. They're great. They're super durable. They can charge it full strength. And so I bought like 20 more of them.
Yeah. The Anchor has the braided ones too. I'm not a huge fan of the braided ones. I don't know, from aesthetic reasons.
For me, the reason why I like the braided is because they tend not to tangle.
Mm.
Just the silicone-based ones, if you put them in a bag long enough, you're going to pull them out and I guarantee you there's at least one knot in it. The braided are kind of resistant to that, but they don't.
Well, that's why you need your cocoon. They're not going to, will you just stick it in the cocoon?
Okay, prices. If I wanted to get my cocoon, if I wanted to get these cables, what am I looking at?
That is a great question. And I will tell you the answer to that.
As soon as it comes up on the site, because our Cracker Jack TD is on the job. It's going to push the button.
There we go. Okay, so $19 for a regular.
There's a
USB.
Reason why it's got a 1-star review rate, because these do fall apart.
And the cocoon it for the two sizes we have. Let's see. Buy now. You can get an organizer pack for $59.99. That is 4 different ones. If you just want one, the organizer is $24.99. Smaller one.
I would like that. I think I'm going to get one of those.
Looks like the smaller one is $19.99. So the smaller one's about the size of an iPad. But if you want to get a bunch of them, you can even get it with a storage packet for
$29.99. Hmm. All right. You know what? You sold me.
And the Anchor cable,
Megan,
that's $7.99.
I am going to be cocooned, although I do not use Apple devices, so I won't be lightninged. But Apple's going to move to USB-C, right?
Well, the MacBooks
are
USB-C.
It makes sense that the iPhone move over.
I don't think this iPhone. I think this iPhone will
maybe
still be Lightning.
Yeah.
But maybe, yeah. So don't go crazy. Don't buy like a million. But I mean, if you're like my house where my kids have iPads for school and they have iPhones and they have a lot of friends, and the friends come over to charge their devices, or they bring their devices over to their friend's house to charge, and they leave them there. And so it's just a steady stream of lightning cables coming into our house.
I just like the fact that I have one charger, and that one charger can charge my battery pack, my phone, my laptop, my tablet, even my portable monitor unit. So, I mean, I know it's not much. It's just one extra cable or two, but it does make it very convenient.
And that's USB-C.
Yeah, USB-C.
I would like that too. Don't get me wrong. I would love to have everything USB-C. We'll see.
Well, Megan, that's it's Thank you very much. I mean, that's good advice. Now, we did want to do a parting shot because I've been gone for a while, and we've had some incredible projects coming out of Arquitas, our know-it-alls in the Google Plus group. This first one is from Ken Janseff, and what did you do, Megan?
So she's finally done, he says, and as Father Robert Balasar, S.J., and Brian Burnett would say, it's a bit janky, and I'm proud of it. Three IKEA LAC tables and a bunch of 3D printed parts, LEDs, temp display, and a fan. Later today, I will get a link for all of the pictures and stuff. I just wanted to post this quick. Do we see his other pictures?
That's awesome. Yeah, I think they should all be here. He's built an enclosure for his 3D printer. And the reason why you want to do this is because it keeps the print at a better temperature.
Oh.
So that you don't get warping, you don't get any weird effects like wobbles in the sidewalls. Go back to that. Because, again, taking things that you can actually buy, making a couple of modifications, and turning it into that, heck yes, that is awesome. And actually, one more. The same person, he gave us an update on how the project was going, and he made a few upgrades, know-how style. Megan?
Okay, with the help of David Peach and others, I got my first Arduino project working. It's an Arduino-powered temperature-controlled fan controller to keep my 3D printer enclosure at a good temp for printing. The green, yellow, orange wires are used to get the temperature sensor off of the breadboard and hung from the top of the enclosure to get it away from the heated print bed. Thanks to all who helped. It's been great to be a small part of a great community.
Ken, you are absolutely our maker of the week. You are our Kita. That is phenomenal work. And also, thank you for sending in pictures, because we love to see what you do. When you take the knowledge that you get here at Know How, or you run off in another direction, or you make something that we've created into something better, there's nothing that is more satisfying. So please keep that coming. Please keep building, and please keep showing off your stuff. You know what? I think that's it, Megan.
Whew!
Yeah, how about that? Now, hopefully you've enjoyed the eclipse. It happened right before this this show broadcast. Now, I'm assuming you're not blind because you didn't look directly at the sun.
No, I am not blind. I know what I'm supposed to do. I remember back from 1979 when I was a young lass in the last one.
I remember that. I remember my dad got a chunk of welding glass. And I couldn't see. I had no idea what I was supposed to be like. So I made a little pinhole camera, but all I could really see was a shadow on another shadow.
Yeah, the shadows is what I remember most. Yeah.
Oh, by the way, I will say this. If you did not have glass, actually, I probably should have mentioned this last Thursday. Actually, I did mention it last Thursday. So never mind.
Well,
I'll show you a little trick with the phone.
For next time. For the next eclipse
previous,
in 2049.
We're not recording this out of order at all. Wow. Oh, but I also remember Haley's Comet.
Oh, yeah. What year was that? I think I
was 86 or something.
Yeah.
I remember I was a young tot, and I might just make it to the next Haley's Comet, and then I'm going to die on that day.
Please don't. I don't think any of us are, actually. I think
die?
Nope. I believe that pretty soon there's going to be some sort of device that keeps us alive.
The singularity.
Forever.
You're talking about the singularity.
I don't know what I'm talking about, which is as per usual.
Well, thank you very much, Megan. Folks, we know that this was a lot of information. We want to make it easier for you to find all the stuff that we've talked about, especially when we get to the live demonstrations, because we're going to have show notes. You're always going to be able to find that at twit.tv/KH. You'll find all of our back episodes. You'll find our show notes along with the episodes. Hopefully those will be better updated now. And also you can subscribe. Please subscribe to Know How. It is the best way that you can support the show. If you like Know How, if you want to see more projects, if you want to see us talk about things like back to school items, just go to twit.tv/KH, do the little drop down menu, and subscribe to the version of your choice. You can get the audio version, the video version, or the high definition video version. All of it helps to support Know How and keep us on the air. Also, don't forget that you can find us on our social. Specifically, we've got a social media group at Google Plus. Just look for Know How. There's a very short approval process so we can keep out all the spam accounts. But once you're in, you get access to over 11,000 Kitas. Those are our know-it-alls, the people who build projects, the people who can answer your questions, maybe even a couple of people who can inspire you with your next great project. And finally, don't forget that you can find us on our social media accounts. You're going to find me at twitter.com/PadreSJ. follow me there, and you can see what I'm doing even when I'm not at Twit. And Megan, where do they find you?
You can find me at Megan Maroney on Twitter.
Yeah, and don't forget, we've got one more member of our crew. That's we call him Jimmy. Jimmy can be found at twitter.com/ANELS.
Excuse me, Padre. It's pronounced Alex.
No, that's not ringing any bells.
No, yeah, it's the J is silent. It's pronounced Alex.
Yeah, so there you go. Until next time, I'm Father Robert Ballasaire.
And I am Megan Maroney.
And now that you know how, go back to school.